Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Dual Screens Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Andy. And this is, it's kind of bittersweet for me this week. We're ending on a high note on a month-long celebration of games and love and all the sexy things in between. And I really can't imagine a better game to showcase to sort of put this whole month to a close. It's a game that's very special to me, a franchise that means a great deal to myself and my friends. So without further ado, let's jump in. Joining us this week, God, I'm so excited for this, is Sophia George, product manager on Galgun Returns, a beautifully reimagined version of the game that started it all, which is out right now on Steam and Switch. Sophia, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful, thank you. How are you doing?
I am beyond words. before we get into the things about the game and you, I just gotta lead things off here that Galgun is a very special game to me. It is where most people gather with their friends for a game night. We do Galgun nights in my household. It was something we began more for the reaction of seeing the game itself, because it's very silly, it's very stupid, it's over the top, and it's pure fun. And when you bring your friends together to play that game, it's all about seeing the reaction, their reaction, when playing it for the first time. Now, could you imagine a group of about five people playing this game, drunk off their asses, and what begins as, let's try this Galgun game out, it seems so silly, let's give it a shot. By the time the night is over, we're spending $100 in DLC.
Wow, I want to be there.
Yeah, but it actually gets better, because this game became so special to us. It became so iconic of what our friendship basically represents. The following year, after our very first Galgun night, it was around Christmas time when we had first done this. And I was thinking, what could I get my friends for Christmas? And I thought, something Galgun, but how do I give them all something Galgun? So I scoured the web and I came across this, the Galgun 2 Free Hugs Edition box set. Now, this, for those who don't know, contains a soundtrack, an art book, a screen cleaner, which is actually panties, which is incredible. And I decided to unwrap the box set and give each person something from the box as a gift that year.
Oh, what Christmas. A touching story.
Right? Isn't that great?
That's lovely.
You wouldn't expect that kind of a heartwarming tale tied to a game that, I'm just going to put it back in the shot one more time, looks like this. So we have a lead-off question here, Sophia, and we're just going to dive into this right off the bat. And I think what I want to ask you initially is, what does a schoolgirl smell like?
Oh my goodness. You know, I think you're asking this question because in the Japanese version of Galgun Returns, one of the, I think it's like an Ami Ami exclusive, is a bookmark that smells like Kaname. I have not smelt this, but I'm a little bit interested, I'm not gonna lie.
What is the research like into creating a bookmark that smells like a schoolgirl?
I kind of want to know, and I kind of don't want to know. I'm sure it's just lovely and flowery.
Right,
like,
yes,
all of us women smell like lovely perfumes.
Of course, of course. Innocent.
Yes, smells of innocence.
So for those of you who don't know what Galgun is, please tell us, what is Galgun Returns?
Galgun Returns is a game where you are accidentally shot with an arrow from an angel, and you become way too popular with all the girls at school. However, you just have one day to confess your love to, you know, the one you love the most, so you can be happy forever. If not, you'll never find love again. So that is the task of the game, and it involves shooting lots of girls with pheromone shots to kind of keep them away until you find your one true love.
That is poetry.
It's poetry. It's very serious.
Yes. It's, you wouldn't think a game that's basically wrapped in this, you know, anime schoolgirl sort of outer layer has such deep themes like finding true love. But here we are. You know, it's what it's all about. And so this game, initially, it is a remake or reimagining of the original game, which came out 10 years ago. What's changed between now and the original version and this new re-release of the game?
So the original version of Galgun was released on the Xbox 360 in Japan only. So lots of people were very excited about playing the kind of origin story for the first time. And in this version, we've obviously updated the graphics. It's on different platforms now. And all of the DLC is included as well as a couple of new modes as well. And it's just crazy, silly fun.
I can't believe 10 years have passed since this game first came out. There's going to be a point where I can date myself in Galgun years. I can say I feel old now because Galgun is like 20 plus years old.
I know. I hope there's 10 more years of Galgun. Maybe we'll talk in 10 years time where I'm like 40.
Was this always on the team's mind for the 10-year anniversary to sort of revisit the game where it all started and see where they can make it better and improve it and also bring it for the first time via you guys, of course, via P-Cube, to a Western audience?
Yeah, so the very first Galgun was, you know, never intended to, or any of the Galguns, to be honest, were ever intended to go over to the West because, you know, they thought, you know, why would they like a game like this? It's usually very Japanese.
They're so wrong about that, but go on.
But I think Matt at NT Creates really wanted, I think he like threw out a tweet one day being like, hey, Galgun Double Piece is out in Japan today. Would you guys ever want to see it? And like people were just like, Yes, please. So I think it makes sense to finally bring this version out for everyone to play.
What is it about this franchise that P-Cube was drawn to that said, we want to publish this game in the States? We want to bring this experience to the Western audience.
I think, so Galgun is really, really important to P-Cube. So I've not been at the company that long. Not just a couple of months, but I have been a fan of Galgun since Double Piece came out. And it is a very, like, we call Galgun like a very P-Cube game. Like, we are so interested in, you know, smaller Japanese titles, more interesting Japanese titles, as well as, you know, we're looking at a lot of indie games now as well. Mm-hmm. And we just, to be honest, like, to be completely honest with you, we just like to publish games that we really, really like. And I find really interesting. So everything that we do is done with a lot of passion behind it.
What was your first experience like with this franchise? When you sat down and said, you mean you saw what it looked like. And then, how fun could this really be? Like, what is this? And then you played it for the first time. Walk us through that experience.
So I believe I first saw Galgun Double Piece at like our kind of London Comic Con. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because I love like lewd games, as you can probably see.
Right.
And I was like, this looks really interesting. And I think kind of was thinking about it and I ended up getting it. And I was just like, this is like really crazy, but just like really fun. And I remember having a couple of my friends around too, and just all just like laughing until we were crying because it's just like just so absurd. It's just absurd and just fun, but in the same, the way that the localization is done is like really, really funny as well. And there's the kind of like heartwarming moments. And I think, you know, there's just so many different types of games out now with like crazy, like games as a service. And sometimes it's nice to just sit down and play a game like this and just have like pure fun. It kind of takes you back to like how games used to be in a way.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not bogged down by a lot of modern sensibilities where you're mentioning games as a service, or just it's getting away from what the game itself is at that point. Yeah. And this is meant to evoke a very special time. I mean, when I look at games like this, I always hearken back to the early PS1 days of gaming, where things were like highly experimental, and the weirder it was, the better it did, where the technology was so new and budding, like any idea was fair game in the industry. And seeing games like this thrive and do well and have a huge audience really puts a smile on my face, because it's not generic. It's not something that's copying something else. It's really trying to be different and unique. And once you tear away all of that anime schoolgirl exterior, there's so much heart in a game like this. And again, I go back to my own nights at the house here, where it's five drunk idiots yelling pink thing at the screen and not knowing what that little pink thing with the little wings is exactly, but it's there and you have to shoot it for some reason. It's that you don't get that in a lot of modern games quite often, and it's refreshing. And I'm really glad you guys are pushing to make sure that these games have a place here in the Western side of the world, which is great.
Yeah, I'm glad too. I think these games just bring so much happiness and just pure joy to people. So it's really nice to see. One of the things I like doing is recently is reading some of the Steam reviews for Galgun, because they're just saying like, they're just also funny saying like, "Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry," and that's the whole review.
Well, how does one manage this product as a product manager? What does that look like for you on a day-to-day basis?
It is like, I always have to take a step back, because it is, it's just so much fun. Before I was at PCube, I was at a games company which did lots of like simulation and strategy and management games, and it was all very, you know, very serious. It's quite serious, and the copywriting was very like considered. But kind of joining PCube, like everything's just like amazingly fun and everyone's like enjoying themselves. And I remember when we were thinking about the launch trailer, I was speaking to our video editor. She was going like, "Oh, Sophia, we're gonna have like the end, like the girl's gonna climax, but I can't like decide which one to use." And I just like, this is a really strange job. So I remember this in my last job. So yeah, and working at PCube as well, because we're quite a small little company, so we can kind of go out there with the kind of crazier ideas and just kind of get it done without, you know, too much red tape or too much overthinking. We just kind of just go forward with it and make it happen, which is just really nice as a product manager.
Have you had your 10-year high school reunion yet? I'm just wondering, because I would love to be that person. It's like, oh, what's Sophia up to these days? And then you're just like, well, I have these Witch Girl Climaxes meetings on my schedule.
It's just amazing. I do love my job for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like a sort of a employment lottery jackpot you hit. Like, to work with something that's, again, like, I want to use the words wholesome and charming, but then the word climax is like already out there, so it's weird to put those two side by side. But it is so much more than what these games are, and I kind of want to get into not a touchy subject, that's very much a pun, just putting that out there. This game was at the 11th hour canceled for the Xbox One release.
Yes.
And it, you know, to me, you can read things like, oh, there was consistency issues, we had back and forth conversations, but my, you know, old ass gamer head who's been around for a long time, my first reaction is someone didn't like what this game's messaging was and said, we don't want this on our platform. Can you speak to that in any way without you know, saying that Phil Spencer is a big prude.
No, I mean, it's, I don't honestly know the whole, you know, story of it, you know, that it was kind of, it kind of all just happened. But I do feel very, very, very sad that it didn't come to Xbox. And I really like Xbox and Microsoft. And like, you know, myself, I'd love to see more like Japanese games on there. So it is a complete shame, but I guess certain things just don't line up with what people want. But yeah, it is a true shame, and I feel very, very sad for people that were looking forward to it. Really, really do.
Do you think developers in Japan specifically look at a move like this and sort of become a little bit more reluctant to put their games on that platform?
You know, I don't know what the situation like is in Japan, but I think it's really hard because, like, they might be making a game like that and being like, oh, maybe we need to tone it down, or maybe we don't need to look at that platform. It really, I guess cases like this really do, like, throw a spanner in the works for people developing these types of games. But yeah, it is a shame because, you know, we had, the first game was on the Xbox originally, right. So it's such a shame.
Right. And then that game also, it received a patch to fix some camera issues.
But the original.
Right. But that was, you know, for those of you who are familiar with that game on the original 360, that was more or less meant to hide some of the creeper camera panty shots. So, you know, it seems like even back then, they were sort of hesitant about what the game was, and then it's come back now 10 years and it's like, well, we've evolved. You put it on the Switch.
Yeah, the Switch will. It's really interesting, isn't it? Like,
it is.
Like, back in the day, like, Nintendo was the kind of, like, you know, quite worried about that kind of thing. Like, I'm old enough to remember things like Mortal Kombat and the controversy around that. But now Switch is, you know, got all kinds of crazy games on there.
It's a really strange conversation to have because Nintendo goes really weird with censorship. Like, there's no consistency with what they pick and choose, what they like, what they don't like, and yet here we have a game that's Nintendo is safeguarding to have on their system that they think deserves a slot on their platform. And it's, to someone like me who grew up with, you were saying, Mortal Kombat had all the blood censored out of it completely, or else the game wouldn't come out on the Super Nintendo. And then you have now what's perceived to be the toy or the kids' gaming system isn't shy about having this game loud and proud in their eShop. It's just strange to have that conversation.
It definitely is, and I wonder how things are going to develop in the future. I mean, like, personally for me, like, I find Galgun to be just stupid, silly, cute, fun. But I actually find playing games like, you know, some of the AAA titles that involve like quite explicit sex, like I find them really like, oh, like pearl clutchy, because it's just like, it just feels so like different to me. It feels like a little bit more like as like a shock factor rather than kind of like cutesy Valentine's Day feelings that Galgun has. But
right. And yeah, a lot of people don't realize that this game wasn't born out of this skeevy, perverted mindset that most people have. Well, not most, that's a generalization, but people think exist in Japan, this like hentai tentacle porn mentality. This was born out of doing a non-gory, dumb, fun shooter. That's where this whole idea came from. It wasn't about sex. It wasn't about perversion. It was about the shooter franchises littered with blood and gore, and it's way too serious. And Inti Creates want to make something that was the complete polar opposite of that. And that gets lost, I think. That intention is lost when you look at it at a face value, which is a shame.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, there's a lot of conversations to be had about, like, you know, super duper violent games and how they're kind of allowed on the different platforms, but like kind of the cutesy kind of campy tongue-in-cheek stuff is a no-no. And it's, yeah, I think it's definitely something like I'm going to be like watching the conversations on, because I find it quite interesting.
What do you think could help move that conversation forward? Like, to a point where we can look at a game like Galaga and not feel like we have to like cover our kids' eyes? Because people will think that, and I don't personally, but I'm saying there's that initial reaction that people have, like, yeah, protect the children when they see something like this. When you see, again, the climaxing and the trailers and stuff like that, it's, I understand it, but I think it shows how far we need to come to move that the dialogue about sex and gaming forward a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how we would solve it. But I think kind of on a kind of cultural perspective, just not like taking these games, maybe it's a job for like journalists and stuff, but not taking these games and think, oh, these games are just for like losers that like live in their basement with their parents.
Right, the neckbeards in the basement.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe we need to be like, okay, actually lots of different people play these like these types of games. And like I do. And, you know, people are always really shocked, like the girls liking these types of games. I'm like, well, of course, it's like full of cute girls and things. So maybe just reframing it as like, this is just normal and this is fun. And there's nothing really like, there's no like, punching down. Like, that's not how, like when we talk about marketing the game, like that's not something we ever wanted to do. Just be like, oh, this game is just for these types of people, which is why when we did some of our marketing and our safety goggles video, we had like men and women, like, I don't know if you've seen that video. But we did this kind of like airplane style safety video with the safety goggles, which is like a kind of a bra that you get with the collector's edition, and how you need to like shield your friends and family's faces from the lewd content. You really need to check it out. It's really funny.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna, as soon as we're done here, I'm gonna look that right up.
But you know, in the phrases where it's like, oh, you're disappointing your parents, we've got like a girl there with her like Kanami-chan like hug pillow and stuff, just to kind of be like, guys, this is just fun, this is not too serious, like it's okay to enjoy these things. I think that's it, it's okay to enjoy them.
Yeah, it's really hard to even have the conversation when people throw out words like sexist when they see a game like this, and I'm like, already it's hard to even defend it, because when you have that term in the ether, it's like, well, you're trying to defend sexism. No, it's not what I'm trying to do. It's, you can't just throw out a word like that, a blanket term, and just shut down the entire conversation. I mean, I've read articles that, and people get really angry about these things, which I'm wondering, like, what is the lens you're viewing the world through? It's like, we're meant to have more fun than this. And it's a shame when a game, like, I've seen it firsthand, like friends of mine who don't play games, who have no interest in games, of all, you know, genders, men, women, getting together. And when this is on the screen, like something really magical tends to happen. And to block that in any way by saying this is just, you know, perverted and it's sexist and it demeans women and it has schoolgirls, it's inappropriate, it's like, that is such a cop-out to me.
Yeah, I find it like terribly sad, you know, kind of like looking at certain comments and things, and like reviews of the game, and in the comments people said like, oh, this game is like just for losers, this game is pathetic. And I think we need to try and not like judge each other all the time. And like I said, it's like stop punching down on each other, because everyone has different like levels of what they find acceptable and and that kind of thing. And like you said, just being like, this game is sexist, is just kind of, like you said, it's like a cop out. Like,
it's lazy. It's a really lazy categorization for a game like this. Because it's like, if you look into it, you were going to say.
Yeah, it's like, I think so too. It's, I don't know if people just say it just so they can feel like they're like better than other people, you know. And I think it's a shame, like, discuss these things. Like, games are always changing. maybe if like every game that ever came out was Galgun, like maybe it would be
a problem. Okay, yeah, if that was all we had to offer the world was a bunch of Galgun games, that doesn't sound too bad, not you're saying it.
But, yeah, like actually,
you know what, that's actually in retrospect not a terrible idea. I can see where you're going with that. God of War, just Gal of War.
Well, I think, you know, we're at a place now where making games is becoming, games developer is a lot more accessible than it was like in the 90s and stuff, and we are getting just so many different types of games. Like I think I was listening to your podcast and it was it Boyfriend Dungeon?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like how amazing is that? Like it's just so different and just like nothing I would have ever come up with, and we're now just getting just games of all different types. And you know, I think there's games for everyone, but not all games are to everyone's taste.
Yeah,
you know?
For everyone. Yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, gaming to me was, I think, one of the most inclusive mediums ever imaginable, because it didn't care about who was holding the controller. Mm-hmm. It was just, here's a thing that someone made, play and have fun. And the technology allowed anyone to get in on that action. If you wanted to make a game, if you had the passion to make the game, you can make the game. And I've spoken to hundreds of developers at this point who they all come from that same mindset, is we have this available to us. I want to make the game that I want to make. And I'm going to put it out there. And I don't think we should be trying to prevent games like this from being made or to shame them out of the industry. It's there's so much space in this medium. Gaming is a huge, huge industry. And lewd gaming especially has a pretty large footprint that I think people need to start recognizing as a viable market in the gaming space.
Yeah, I think so. And we've kind of like covered gaming and looked at gaming the same way for like a long time, but I think we need to start rethinking how we actually like report on gaming and how we talk about it, because there are just so many different genres and things now. And you can be playing games all the time, be super into gaming, and you might not touch like the, you know, the top selling games of all time, you know, like because they're so diverse now. And I think it's really hard when, you know, you get these big websites and you really want them to cover your game, but like, they might not, just because it's not for them. And so different types of sites I think is what we need right now. And we think we need to start looking at games on like a more individual level, different genres, different types, rather than just, you know, all gaming is the same, because we don't look at like books and movies that way.
Right, exactly. Like the other day I was watching the Nintendo Direct, like the first one in like over a year, and there was a game that they showed, that DC Superhero Girls game.
Yeah.
It looked very like, you know, mobile game, and it was geared for a very specific audience. And I could look at that and say, oh, that's cute, but that is definitely not for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and say, that looks like trash, that's garbage, that shouldn't exist, get it off of the system, what are you thinking, just cancel it, because I don't like it. That's how we should approach these things, is you can say, okay, that looks silly and stupid, but it's not for me, and it has a right to exist, more or less.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree. And I think it's so hard with things like these big like game showcases now that we're having, like Nintendo Direct and like Gamescom and things, because you can no longer please everyone with what you've got to show. Like that DC game, if that came out when I was younger, that would have been amazing. But you know, when I go on Twitter and it's all these like, you know, guys talking about how disappointing it was, I'm like, well, that's gonna have made someone's day somewhere seeing a game like that.
Right, exactly. Like I when I used to attend when E3 was still a thing, and before we were all like locked down from each other, and going to the EA panels and showcases, where the bulk of that is sports games. It's what they do. It's EA's sports is a huge part of their of the games they create and publish. Sports games are not in my even mindset. I even think about sports games. I don't play them often. But I'm not going to sit there and just say this is boring because it was two-thirds of their panel was sports games.
Yeah.
When people are cheering on FIFA and things of that nature, it's recognizing that not everything can be specifically for you. And you have to cast that wide net in things like this.
Hmm.
And part of that wide net means catching games like Galgun and having them part of the conversation. Because it's, again, it's not about the perversion factor or the schoolgirls. It's just dumb. And in that, yes. Like, specifically, these were made because it's so dumb. It's, you replace, take the idea of a zombie coming at you in the game, but it's a schoolgirl that is in love with you and is trying to maul you, which can be scary in its own right.
Yeah, I think I remember reading in an interview with IntiCreates about that's literally how it came about. It was either like a games jam or like everyone in the company could come up with ideas for games. They were like, oh, House of the Dead, but with girls. Oh, we probably shouldn't shoot them with guns because that would just be really horrible. So then they thought of a way around it, and that we've got what we've got today. So yeah, it was never about it. They're just making games and being passionate about making games, and that's what I like to see.
What's the reception been like since Galgun Returns was released not too long ago?
It's been a week and a day. It's been really good. We're really pleased with how it's doing, and you know, I keep an eye on as much as I can of people talking about it, and they're really loving it. They're loving the collector's editions that we made. And I think people are just really excited to see, you know, that original game. I was quite worried because Galgun 2, I think it came out 2018 over here. It had a lot more like features, and it had like a VR mode and stuff. Right. So Galgun Returns is obviously that first game, so there's a few things that aren't in there, but people seem to understand that and be happy with the new story and meeting the characters.
More of a celebration of this year, isn't anything else? Like, and again, we should be celebrating when a game is localized for a Western market. Everyone should be jumping for joy, because when you sit down and do some actual research into how many games don't make it over into the Western audience, and it's good quality games, as a gamer, it breaks my heart that there's so many things that I will never enjoy or experience because I can't understand the language. And when someone takes the time to say this game needs a broader audience, we need to, you know, deliver the word of Galgun overseas, it means a lot to someone like me, because again, gaming is all about all the experiences. It's about all of it, and not shutting out one thing, one particular thing. And having you guys bring that here is incredible.
It's probably one of the most rewarding parts of the job. Back in December, we announced an otome game called Buster Fellows. So kind of visual novel, you're meeting and dating gorgeous anime men. I'm really excited for it. But there's not that many otome games that get localized and released in the West. And it was just so lovely to see these women just reach out and be like, oh my god, P-Cube, thank you so much. I'm definitely gonna buy this. I'm gonna buy 2 copies so that you can make more and more like otome games.
That's
just
so sweet.
It's just the best feeling.
Yeah, I mean, seeing that kind of reaction is really makes the job for you. Because you know that you're doing the right thing when working on games like this. And if even one person is like, thank you so much for this experience that I wouldn't have had if it wasn't for you. And that's, it validates your entire career, basically.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to see.
So what is next for this franchise? And we've had several games. Now Galgun Returns just came out, 10 year celebration. What is that conversation like on Inti Create side? Do they wanna, is there a Galgun 3 on their minds?
I hope so. I don't know what they've got plans. Obviously, Inti, they're not just a Galgun machine as much as I wish they were.
Right. I mean, well, listen, I always thought that I think Inti should do two things. They should do Galgun, and they should any sort of retro NES franchise, Castlevania, Mega Man, Metroid, Contra, they should just do all of those 2D sprite games.
Just commission them for that.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know what sort of voodoo sorcery it's like a time machine, because their sprite work is just, how have they not been hired for every retro game is beyond me.
Like, yeah, I think they're like, I can't remember when they were founded, but are they like previous like employees of Capcom maybe? Mm-hmm. So they've got a lot of talent in that studio.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really hope we could do more Galgun games, because I'd like to do more silly collector's editions. And yeah, people just love it. So
how
you gotta give the people what they want.
how do you I'm trying to think, how can I word this the right way? How do you outdo a bookmark that smells like a school? if a Galgun 3 ever came out and they were like, Sophia, we need you to have like the most amazing marketing strategy, like pre-order bonus, what do you do?
I mean, that's the thing, right? We've done panties as screen cleaners. We've done safety goggles, which is like a bra.
Right.
The 10th anniversary edition for the West was really lovely, because we had like pins and art books, and the art book kind of flipped over, so there's like a, I think it's called the Sexy Chronicles of Galgun, where there's all like the lewd artwork. I don't know. I'm kind of panicking about like, how are we going to top all of this stuff? Do you have any good ideas for me?
Like, I mean, at what point do you just send everyone that buys the game an actual Japanese schoolgirl?
Oh my god. I mean, I'm sure it'd sell wonderfully.
Right. I mean, you know, a body pillow is the next step, I would imagine, but that would be a lot in shipping and totally.
Yeah, you know,
it.
I think people would be up for that, right? I've seen another couple of studios do. I think Idea Factory did it for Data Live. They gave you like a cover for one of those pillows, so it could be done.
No, we were speaking before about Microsoft and the game not being on their system. What about Sony? Have they had any interest in this, or are they just like, nope, you can just keep that on Nintendo? Is that a potential release for you guys, getting it on the PlayStation systems?
I haven't heard anything about PlayStation, but just from like my personal point of view, I know that there's been issues with PlayStation and like Senran and Kagura games. Right. So maybe they're moving away from those types of games. But I don't know for sure. We'll wait and see.
That's a shame, because could you imagine a game like Galgun with the PS5 DualSense controller?
Yes, that would be really great, wouldn't it?
I think you should go back to Inti and say, listen, you do a Galgun 3, but just like dive into the PS5 hardware, the controller especially, and innovate. Like, make me feel like I'm being chased by a schoolgirl. Make me feel the love in each pheromone shot.
Gosh, can you imagine like the motion controls, the VR headset?
Right.
People wouldn't leave their houses.
No. making a mistake, Sony. Yes. Don't move away. You should be moving forward. Moving towards is what you should be doing.
Oh my god.
All right, Sophia. That's a lot of sexy talk. A lot of Galgun talk. I could go on about this game and censorship and all that fun stuff for another 5 hours, I imagine. Mm-hmm. But this is the time when we do a little deep dive about you.
About me. Okay.
What makes you tick? What makes you tick? Oh yes, listeners, it is time for rapid rapid fire questions. Oh boy. Are you ready for this action?
I think so.
You think so? Don't worry. It's not too scary. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So sure. The first question we usually ask in this segment is, it's a very simple one.
Mm.
Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yes. Mm. I like pineapple on pizza, mm-hmm. but I don't like pineapple in general. So I'll only eat pineapple if it's on a pizza.
Interesting. See, that's me and raisins. I love raisin bran, but I don't like raisins on their own.
Yeah. I'm glad you understand.
And I think raisinets are the devil's candy. Why would you waste good chocolate on a freaking wrinkly old raisin? Not for me. Moving on. Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Probably flight.
Because,
You know, UK, we're like an island. So mm-hmm. maybe I could dash around. Mm-hmm. Quite like that idea.
Interesting. What is something that you are terrible at, but you wish you could do better?
Oh, I'm terrible at singing, but it'd be really nice to be good at singing, I think.
I'm bad at being a good human being. Okay.
I'm sure
when you're getting dressed for the day, when you're, you know, about to head out, thinking about how I can do a full body pillow of a Galgun girl for Galgun 3, and you're getting dressed, and you're putting on your socks and your shoes. Is it sock, sock, shoe, shoe, or sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
Sock, sock. Sock, sock, shoe, shoe.
Yes, because anything other than that would be psychotic behavior.
Yeah, because I put my socks on in the bedroom and then my shoes are downstairs, mm-hmm. so... Mm-hmm.
Do you ever like wear your socks to sleep and then it's like, oh, they're already there when you wake up the next day?
Oh my goodness.
You know, which is a good segue. Is it okay to sleep with socks on?
You know, I guess if you're in a really cold country, mm-hmm. then that might be quite appreciated, you know. Mm-hmm. Extra warmth.
You know, here's a little, since a lot of this conversation has been very spicy and very sexy, here's a little tip for your listeners out there. Wearing socks during intercourse is actually good, because if your feet get cold, you have the blood going there to keep them warm. But if you're wearing socks, blood is going to other areas. So, boys and men, you keep that in mind. It's a little free tip for you. So
nice. I'm learning things. You're learning.
Yes, of course. Would you rather invent something new or discover something new?
I think I'd rather invent something new. I feel like new discoveries might be like bad ones. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
a new type of horrible monster or something
right,
like that.
right. Like I discovered some eldritch horror, like, just, you know, in my closet. You should all come check it out. When you're out and about with your friends and you're celebrating the release of Galgun Returns on Steam and Switch out right now, it's a plug right there, and you're having too much to drink and you're getting giddy, what word best describes you when you've had a little bit too much to drink?
Oh gosh, I guess like innocent. I get very like, I don't know. A lot of my friends, like, there was a time where I got quite drunk and I was at a buffet and I had a little plate of jelly and I dropped it on the floor. And I just went up to everyone and said, oh, I dropped my jelly. And that's all I heard for months was just like, Sophia dropped her jelly. So I think if there's a phrase to describe me, it's probably dropped my jelly.
Oh my God. If you were asked to be a part of the next Galgun game, not as an actual girl, like development, like we want you I mean, if you wanted to, sure. I don't want to objectify you, Sophia. Say, like, get her hotness in her in the game.
Yes.
But if you were part of development and they asked you, what new feature would you want in the next Galgun? What would that feature be?
I would like to play as one of the angels, like in heaven.
Oh, okay.
I think that would be really cool. Rather than like a school, maybe it's like, I don't know, whatever like heaven would look like. So clouds and it's like an angel school, maybe. I think that would be really funny.
That is really wild. I would love to see that. See, this is why you gotta, you know, send those emails out, Sophia. Just be like, guys, I was on this podcast and we talked about certain things and we're going to do Galgun 3 and I'm in charge. So
I'm in charge. Yes. There'll be enough body pillows.
Yes.
I'm going to voice one of the girls.
Yes. I am one of the girls. I'm doing the voice, body pillows, and we're doing it.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do. Would you rather have your skin color change based on your emotions, or would you rather have tattoos appear on your body depicting what you did the day before?
Oh, probably the emotion skin change, because I think I'm quite like, people can always tell what I'm feeling, so it wouldn't be too much difference.
But the tattoos,
like, I don't know. Like,
I can't imagine you feeling anything but happy all the time. If someone had your job, it's like, you have no excuse to be angry at anything or anyone.
Yes, that is true.
Like, if you're asked to decide or weigh in on which girl should be orgasming in a trailer, there's no reason for you to ever say, oh, my life sucks, or be angry at any point.
Right. I have to remind myself, like, Sophia, remember, you worked on Galgun.
Yes.
That's also, you're doing okay.
That's also another great segue. Where do I apply for P-Cube? Are you guys hiring?
I actually think we might be. P-Cube.co.uk.
That's more like an offline conversation. We'll circle back to that later. Would you rather have one real get out of jail free card? So any crime you commit, whatever it may be, you won't do the time. Would you rather have that or a key that can unlock any door anywhere?
That's interesting, because maybe the key would, having to unlock any door might put me in prison. So, gosh, I probably the key. I can't see myself breaking any laws anytime soon. Maybe I needed the invisibility from the last question.
Oh,
and
you
the key
see
from this
now.
Question. Oh, God damn it.
You see now? I've never thought of it that way. Like, now it's like a choice game where, like, every decision matters.
Sophia, you got the bad ending. Sorry.
Right. Or, if you got caught, you could just fly away. That's also an option.
True. Gosh.
See? You see that?
At all, I'm going to be thinking about this.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it from this podcast, but it does get deep. It gets very existential and philosophical. What do you think people notice the most about you?
Oh. I'm not sure. I'm quite shy. Maybe that. I'm quite pink and girly. Probably that. I imagine that.
Okay. What is your favorite smell besides a schoolgirl?
My favorite smell would be freshly cut grass, which is a really cop-out answer. But I do love it. I'm a country girl, so.
Yeah, that's really nice. That evokes that summertime fun, like going to the park and you smell the grass that's been freshly cut. That's a really good smell. It just brings you to a very specific place in time.
Absolutely. Especially now where I haven't left my house in a year.
Oh my God. That was just depressing. Well, listen, if you're locked in with Galgun, things aren't so bad.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I have to remember that.
What is the dumbest way you've ever injured yourself?
Um, The only one I can think of is that I was at a convention once and I went down to look at something and smacked my head on a TV, and then had to go back to my hotel to just not be dizzy while everyone else was having like an after party. So that wasn't dumb as an accident, but I felt pretty dumb at the time and sad that I was missing out on a party.
You know, I've told listeners the time when I very recently cut my thumb with the potato peeler, but I just thought of one from like years ago. I was in a GameStop and I forget what trailer was on the screen. It was on my left and I was looking at it while walking out of the GameStop, and I turned just to smack into the glass door.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very hard. So, you know, I shook it off and I pulled the door open. I was like, shit, I hope no one saw me do that because that's really dumb. And I started walking down the street and then I was like, what is that weird sensation I'm feeling on my forehead? And I was just gushing blood. And I was like, okay, I got to find a Starbucks, got to find a Wendy's, get some napkins and clean myself up. Cause
just walk into Starbucks.
Now, and it's like blood all over. Now there's like evidence of how dumb you are.
Oh, no. I hope you recovered swiftly.
Yeah, well, you know, the scars still run deep. I'm still a big idiot, so I don't know what I've recovered
pain.
From. Yeah, it's all still there. Let's see. What is the one thing that you've made that you're most proud of?
I think, so I used to be like a little indie developer for a very short amount of time.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
And I did a residency at a museum in the UK called the Victoria and Albert Museum. And I made a very, very short game based on a Victorian wallpaper pattern design from an artist called William Morris. And I made that. It was just so different. It was a free game called Strawberry Thief. And I was so happy with that because I had an 80-year-old woman email me and say, your game Strawberry Thief is the first digital game I've ever played. And I was just like, that is so nice. Please buy Galgun.
Just always. You're always going to slide that in. It's like, I can imagine at the dinner table, like, you know, it's like, oh my god, this pasta is really good. I know, right? Please play Galgun. It's like, am I even talking about games, lady? It's like, I know, but just please play it.
It's quite funny though, because, you know, I did these like really artsy games and museums and all this stuff, and now it's just like,
it's quite a departure.
Yes.
From, though, then again,
like, what happened to Sophia with her artsy games?
Well,
oh, I see.
Listen, this is art any way you slice it.
That is true. I think all games are art.
This is true. This is very, very true. It's a quick tangent. Would you want to get back into game development at some point later down in your career, or just you think this is on the publisher side of things where is a better fit for you?
I would, yeah. Maybe just like small games in my kind of my spare time, out for free kind of thing. Like, I'm not interested in like huge game projects and stuff. Because games take a long time to make.
Yeah, they do.
You get pretty sick of them.
Yeah. Oh boy, what fictional character do you most relate to?
Oh. Fictional character. I can only think of anime characters because I'm such a weeb. Okay, I think I quite relate to Hibari from Senran Kagura just because she's tries to be really happy but has a lot of misfortune and is clumsy and that kind of thing, and always does her best. Kind of blindly. So
are we going to see any more of those games? I mean, the last one I got was the volleyball one, that beach volleyball one.
Oh, I hope so.
Those are good. Those games are ridiculous. And again,
love them so much. Yeah, I think there was one announced, but it was like a Sony exclusive. And then we never heard from it again. So
interesting. Okay.
Please.
What would the title of your memoir be?
Oh. Gaugan Returns. No, on Steam and Switch. No, okay.
Gals, Boobs, and Panties, the Sophia George
that's
story.
Great. That's great. Yes, it would be that.
Oh, God. If this is a very Galgun specific question, but if Pansu Paradise was an actual place, what would it look like?
My gosh. I can just imagine it like raining pants. Raining pantsu, all different colors. And maybe it smelled like that bookmark.
Right. Yes.
Pink. Yeah. Blue skies.
You know, I really
paradise.
Listen, I have to ask you right now. Can I get my hands on that bookmark in some way? I need to do some sort of unboxing and some sort of live smell test because I just need to know. This is more for research. I don't do the whole like as a gay man thing often, but I don't smell a lot of girls.
Ah, of course.
Because they're yucky to me. Yeah, I love these games. So I think just so I can satisfy that curiosity, I need to get my hands on this bookmark to see what a schoolgirl.
I need to get my hands on it too. Like, all right.
You get on that.
I'm interested.
Does
this smell like me?
The second you do that, I think that's going to replace your most proudest moment in your life.
Yes.
Enabling me to smell that bookmark will be your proudest moment. Just think about it.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
In what way would you like to become famous?
Oh, I never really thought about being famous before. When I was in game development, I thought it might be, or maybe I'll become a famous game developer. But if I would want to be for something nice, like, you know, encouraging more women to get into games, the games industry and that kind of thing. And just making people happy with publishing games, you know.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because this entire month has been all about love and sex and relationships and those kind of things in gaming for all month of Feb. And when I source guests, I don't think about who is making the game. Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it whatever? It's just the game looks cool. I'm going to reach out to whatever that email is and say, hey, come on the show. This entire month, 3 out of 4 guests have been women on this show.
Oh, amazing.
And the one that wasn't a woman, it was a company run by a woman.
Mm.
So it's funny how when I specifically look to games about love and sex and relationships, it's a lot of women that are leading the charge in those ways. And it brings me back to Bayonetta, where you can look at her and you think, man, some horny guy designed her. Nope, that was a lady did that.
Yeah.
Did that sexy piece of gaming girl action. And it just dispels a lot of the myths around who's making these games, who are they for. I'm pretty sure that a large audience loves Galgan that's female.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think we're always quite worried, like, well, women are gonna think of this, but women like sexy things. Like, I don't know if this is like big news to anyone, but
yeah, it shouldn't be.
Like, growing up, I had like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Beyonce. Right. Loved them because they're sexy.
Right. And then before that, for older women, like people like Madonna were a thing, like these sex icons. And there was the idea of being sexy was always a power symbol for me. And, you know, I had this talk a few weeks back with the one of the marketing folks from Nataku, which is like an adult, it's a lewd gaming platform. And somehow we kind of got away from the idea that being sexy instilled confidence and strength. And it was like, at some point it changed to you're objectifying her and you shouldn't be doing that. And it's like, well, it sounds like a you problem, I think.
Yeah. Cause like sex is the thing that is, well, we wouldn't be here if there was no sex going on. And, yeah, and like, because I like to think I'm like very feminist and stuff, but when I see, you know, sexy ladies, I'm just like, nice, this is amazing. Yeah. She's feeling it. And when people are like, "Oh, put that away," I'm like, "Hang on, like,
oh, put you away."
Yeah, like, I like, what's wrong with women's bodies? You know, mm-hmm. We have a long way to go.
We do. We really do. What is something that you know isn't real, but you want very badly to exist?
Oh, isn't real. I would very much like the Panty Paradise to be real. I cannot keep going back to that.
You know why I love that answer, Sophia, is because you did that with not only yourself in mind, you did it for the better of the world.
Yes, the world would be a better place.
I would have gotten a more selfish route with my answer, which I probably can't say on this podcast. It's way too lewd.
You've given me an idea for, like, yes. You know, you get those like escape rooms that used to be popular before the bad times. We should do Galgun escape room.
Yeah, you know, with the announcement of the Super Nintendo Land, I think there's room in this world for some sort of Galgun theme park.
Yes. So,
or at least an escape room, like you were saying. What question do you most hate being asked?
I don't like being asked, like, what's it like to be a woman in the games industry?
Oh my God.
You're like,
God.
Damn, that was my next question.
Yeah, no, see, that's the one thing I try to steer away from, because I don't ask the men on the show what's it like being a man in the industry. It's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Because that's what really got me, like, when I was doing my own games and stuff, mm-hmm. like, people would really be keen to get me on, you know, to be interviewed for the magazines and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was never about my game. It's like, what's it like being a woman in the games industry? I'm like, can we talk about my game, please? Yeah. Like, I'm not interested in talking about that.
Well, it's obviously going well. I'm here. I'm making a game. So let's talk about the thing that I'm making. And, you know, it's funny how that mentality is, it's so focused on elevating women in the industry, because there's so much more than their private parts, but yet you make it so much about their private parts.
Yeah, that's it. I kind of get where it's coming from. Like, yeah, we want to, like, you know, for you to talk about, you know, being a woman in the game industry, but like, well, even by asking that question, it's kind of making me feel like I don't belong here. So
right,
it's like a weird thing.
You see, it's also trying to maybe get that kind of answer from you, like, oh, you know, it's so hard. Men don't listen to me, and I'm always interrupted in meetings. It's like, they have this weird caricature of how a woman goes through life in these spaces, when all the ones that I've spoken with, it's no, I just get to make my game. I have my company. I'm in charge. I have my team, and it's all great. It's like,
yeah,
well, I can't clickbait that kind of a reasoned response.
Woman says she has a wonderful time in the industry.
Yeah. Oh, that's like an Onion. That's like an Onion article right there. Oh, all right. What's something you wish you enjoyed more, but you can never seem to do?
Exercise and eating healthy.
Amen. Oh my God, the quarantine belly is in full effect right now. Me and my weight have a very terrible relationship. It's a love hate. I starve myself, I overeat, I try to go on a diet, eat sensibly, then I do good for a week, then I do bad for a month. It's not healthy at all.
Yeah, it's like you do really well and you're like, well, I'm gonna reward myself.
I've earned it.
Ordering pizza.
I'll be dead before I'm 50. All right. All right. To wrap things up, if you were to come across someone that had no interest in playing Galgun, and it was up to you to convince them to play this game, what would be the pitch?
I would say, if you play this game, you're just guaranteed to laugh and have fun. Like, I think everyone's played it has at least laughed once, just because the absurdity,
right,
the amazing localization, the the scenes. I remember in a meeting once, they were chatting about one of the previous games or something. They're like, oh, you know, when what's her face gets stuck in the window and her bum's out, and it's just like, yep, this is what working at PQ is like, just absurd stuff all the time, but it's amazing.
That's fantastic. Well, Sophia, it's been a lot of fun talking to you. I mean, this has been incredible learning about you, learning about the game. And thank you for putting this game on the Switch that I can now enjoy it anywhere I go.
Yes.
Any part of the house. And hopefully when I go back to the office on the commute, because I would love to play this on the train and have someone kind of peek over and be like, what's going on over there? This pornographic materials on the subway. Put it away, sir. Before we say goodbye, Sophia, where can we follow all things P-Cube, Inti Creates, Galgun? Give us all the social media marketing spiel. Go for it.
Oh, gosh. I am not good at this. But there's pcube.co.uk. We've got at P-Cube Games is most of our social media handles as well. Inti Creates actually has a English and Japanese Twitter feeds to follow too, so definitely check them out because they've got some cool releases coming up. And yeah, P-Cube has some really interesting stuff coming up this year, so please keep an eye on us. We've got crazy games, amazing games, things that you won't expect, so it's a really exciting year.
Yeah, I think that about sums up Galgun. It's something that you don't expect, but it's something so magical. All right, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us on this month-long journey of love, sex, and gaming. And it's been a blast. I hate to end it, but this has been an amazing way to end the month. And Sophia, thank you so much for joining us this week. It's been incredible. And Galgun out right now on Switch and Steam. Get on it. It'll change your life. So with that, listeners, be safe. Be a little bit sexy. Be daring in your game choices. Have a little fun. And I think I coined this phrase a few weeks back. Open your buttholes to new ideas. Because that's what life's all about. New ideas and new experiences. All right. That's all for this week, listeners. Sophia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And as always, please